Welcome back to Administrative Static, and I think we have kind of a fun segment here because we talk a lot about the King George III Awards, and we talk about the bad guys quite a bit, and we talk about how they've violated people's civil rights and why, and we have a little bit of fun with that,
and we might get to that.
But I did want to start. We had our awards ceremony this week, and we had a lot of people in town. It was very fun. Event at the Palm, and a lot of old friends came in and people we've worked with over the years to get some of these victories. And we gave out the George Washington Awards, because the other part of the Georgies are the George Washington Awards, which are for people who've done really good work working with us as part of the alliance part of the New Civil Liberties Alliance. And we every year we give a client an award for client bravery. And Janine, I'll turn to you. Who received the award this year and why?
The recipients this year were the five Hogue clients. So that's Hogue versus Newsom, in which they stepped up to challenge California's medical misinformation law, which punished doctors for giving patients advice about COVID that departed from the scientific consensus in the words of the statute, but I think is ultimately meant to punish those who express views that are disfavored by the state. So as we've probably discussed before, we obtained a preliminary injunction successfully, and eventually the legislature repealed the law, probably in part because of that, because they knew they weren't going to be able to withhold, or the statute was not going to withhold judicial scrutiny.
And none of that would have been possible without the brave clients.
I'm going to name them here. It was Tracy Hogue, yep. Like Dr. Ram Durasetti, Aaron Cariotti, Pete Mazaluski, and Azadeh Khatibi.
Yes, and Azadeh came to accept the award on behalf of all of the clients and to continue working on a documentary she's putting together about the case.
Right. So I was out at one of the hearings on this with Casey Norman, and she was filming there. And she filmed us here, and she went to the Fauci hearing while she was here. So very, very active even now. Yeah,
she's an overachiever. She's a doctor and a documentary filmmmaker and a mom.
And her picture was the one we used a lot with the media, where she had put some duct tape over her mouth, AB 2098 on the duct tape.
Yeah, and she was very passionate. Her family immigrated from Iran. I forgot if she was born there or not, but in any event, she saw a lot of parallels between some of what was happening during COVID in terms of stifling dissent and what she had seen under the Iranian regime.
Yeah, I think she was. I think she was born there. But now then we'll go to some of the other awards, and congratulations to all those winners, because, you know, without plaintiffs, you don't have cases.
You do not.
But we also need lawyers. And for outstanding pro bono service, Mark, we had our friend Roman Martinez came.
Yeah.
And some of his team came as well.
Yeah, he brought some of the folks from Latham & Watkins with him. And Roman, I mean, the amount of money that it would take a private law firm to bring a case to the Supreme Court is, you know, well over $1 million. And we were able to take advantage of their pro bono. And obviously, John led this case from the beginning and was instrumental at the Supreme Court as well. But the time and attention and expertise that Roman was able to bring to the case, I think, was super important. And you know, we don't have a result yet, but I think that his he and his firm deserve this award for the outstanding pro bono service they provided to the fishermen clients that we have in the Relentless case.
Well, also, I think that for lawyers out there, you know this, what the time matters. And the Supreme Court took Relentless because, you know, I believe because of the Jackson issue that she wasn't there. So they rushed it, kind of.
Yeah.
And so we had an abbriefing briefing schedule over the Christmas holidays. Roman and the team at Latham just worked their posteriors off getting this thing done on time. So we were very fortunate to have them, and I think it was very well deserved. And then I want to bring up
he's not the only lawyer who's been helpful to us and our clients.
Exactly. So we have New Civil Liberties Alliance Georgie Award for the best amicus curiae brief is my friend David Tryon and Alex Certo of the Buckeye Institute. And they both came out, which is very nice to see because they are in, as the name implies, in Ohio. And they wore their little Buckeye pins with there. And really, David writes so many of these, but he wrote one for the petition for cert for Loper Bright to say that that case should be taken. Then he wrote one on the merits in Loper Bright. And then the Supreme Court said, okay, we don't need to see those briefs again. If you put an amicus curiae brief in for Loper Bright, we will apply that to the Relentless case. So you don't have to do it again. But
and most people chose not to.
And most people chose not to. But he chose to write it. And this is very important in the amicus curiae. He didn't write anything that he'd written previously except this case is relentless, you know, the name of the cases. But he had new arguments. Having to basically, he addressed some of the things that the government had raised in Loper Bright that maybe there wasn't room enough in our brief, or but it talked particularly what I really liked about it was is the part about experts, because they always say that you have to listen to the government because they have experts, and he showed why that's not the case, why that's not the case anywhere else, and both he and Alex Certo did a wonderful job. Particularly considering how much they'd done previously to come up with to then come up with new arguments for our case, I was very appreciative of it.
Absolutely.
And I'm gonna skip over this. I'll wait for Cincinnatus till the end. But then, best local counsel, that's Greg Grimsel in Mexican Gulf for me, but also Peggy cases. Every time we go down to Louisiana. Greg Grimsel, who has been doing this a very long time, is our local counsel, and he gives so generously of his time and his advice on a pro bono basis.
And his office space.
And I think there's like three cases, Mark?
At least three or four, yeah. I think the gag rule case he was involved with, and SEC Board Diversity case I think he's been involved with.
And of course, Mexican Gulf. So he's pretty much, if we're going down to New Orleans,
he's our man in New Orleans.
That's right, and certainly I have also appreciated.
He knows where the good restaurants.
The restaurants,
are.
Exactly. That's exactly where I was going with that one. So thanks, Greg, and he came up as well. It was good to see him.
Yeah.
And I will then the student note. Mark, you're more involved with the student note than I was. How did this come about, and who won that?
So that's Matt Lambertson, who is at Florida Law Review, and this was the third year we've run this competition, but the first time we've had a former summer law clerk of ours win the competition. So that was fun. And this is blind graded, by the way. I should have said that when I handed out the award. We didn't know whose paper this was when we decided that Matt was the winner, but our board of and this is judged, I should say, by academics, not by the lawyers here. But we, Professor Hamburger, I guess Professor Dolan, who is one of our lawyers here, was on the committee, and I believe Don Elliott, but that might be last year, it might have been somebody else this year. In any event, he had done some work on the Lemelson case for Russ Ryan when he was here on this whole question of. You know, there's this problem where the First Amendment protects your speech, but if you're doing speech that the SEC says is misleading or needs more context or whatever, you can be found guilty and Mr. Lemelson was, of saying something that's misleading. And Matt explored in his student note why maybe the First Amendment needs to be broadened and the SEC's ability to curtail some of this speech should itself be curtailed. So really nice piece.
That is good. And the thing that always bothers me there is when you say a true thing, but they think you need to say more.
Right.
Right? You need to say more in order to make it really, really true. And you shouldn't be penalized for that because you disagreed with the SEC on what was important.
But. Yeah, that's right. And he came up from the law school and with his fiance in tow. And so that was fun to see as well.
It was. And the last award, good guy award anyway, is a new one on me anyway. I was surprised. I mean, as soon as you said it, I knew who it was, but I didn't know it was coming up, which is the New Civil Liberties Alliance Cincinnatus Award. And can you tell us, Mark, who won that and why?
Yeah. So we've
and
only,
what it is.
Yeah. We've only given out the Cincinnatus Award one previous time, and that was to Mike McCulloch. And and Karen Cook, who are local counsel. Well, they're the counsel on the Jarkissi case at the Supreme Court, and that was largely what we were honoring there was the work that they had done above and beyond. But with in the case of our former colleague, Rich Samp, who retired earlier this year, he has devoted more than 30 years of his professional career to public interest law. It hasn't made him a rich man, but boy, has it made him an influential one. His work at the Supreme Court and at courts around the country is highly respected. His briefs are read. His briefs are influential. And you know, we're sorry to see him go. We're glad he's agreed to serve on our board of advisors, and I'm sure we'll still continue to call him from time to time. But this is an award that goes for selflessness, for modesty, for leadership, for all the things that Cincinnatus himself embodied and that George Washington embodied. And as I said, when giving the award to Rich, it's particularly appropriate to give it to someone like Rich, who, like Cincinnatus and George Washington, retired and then came back to the fight. And Rich, Rich did that as well, because he retired from Washington Legal Foundation, and then we lured him back to NCLA for a few years.
And boy, are we glad we did. And then he was going to retire again, right?
Yeah, just up the board. And considering all the things he's done, I'm going to call him later today. So, well, the last thing is, I think we've said it before, but who won the George III Award,
Yeah,
Mark?
The King George III Award is Secretary Cardona of the Department of Education and Secretary Mayorkas of the Department of Homeland Security. We had to give out two this year because there were so many bad censorship people that we had to recognize one person
just
in the censorship category. But they're both deserving. Their names are on the permanent trophy. The ignominy will now follow them forever.
You know, someday one of these guys is going to come to pick it up, like for the
that'd be great.
Like the movies when
like
the Razzies.
Bullock when
well,
with
the Razzies, exactly. Yeah. So, in any event, thank you very much. It was a great event. I had a lot of fun. I think we all did. And we'll
do it again next year.
Yes. Thank you very much.